Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Monday to you. 10 days to go until opening day at Wrigley Field. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, and Cody Delmendo with you on a Monday. We are closing in on the season, finally. Welcome to everyone that's going to be joining in the chat. Please make sure, if you haven't watched the live YouTube feed before, make sure you go check it out, subscribe, and give us a five-star review, thumbs up, likes, all those things. Best way to watch us and interact with the show, be part of the show while it's going on. If you're just a podcast person and you don't want to do the YouTube thing, make sure you're also subscribed and giving us the old five-star thumbs up. Happy smiley face, whatever else you can do, maybe flames and fires, 100% emoji, whatever. We appreciate it all. And by the way, how did you guys do in your merch madness? I think I probably lost mine. How did
I
you
lost. Do your, you I lost? Think I lost.
I lost. I think we all lost merch madness. I was up against
Moriano. I was very, very close with Carm, but I think he all the old people came to vote for him.
Well, they didn't come for me.
I told the people a vote for me was a vote for millennials. And like my entire life, everyone continues to shit on us. So
I think people were voting for the best shirt. I would agree that Moriano's hoodie is cooler than my T-shirt, but I would say go get both of them and make sure you subscribe or sign up to be a diehard, because time's running out before the season. Get the discounts to Ryan's articles throughout the season. The takeovers, the events, the merch is on discount to you all the time. Plus, you get the cool card and all the other things that come with being a diehard. Lots going on over the weekend, guys. I mean, March Madness is one thing, but if you had to set aside March Madness because the World Baseball Classic was heating up, then you had Cubs Cactus League, and if you had anything else going on, you were bouncing all over television. World Baseball Classic, though. Team USA gets a lift from Trey Turner, and I got to admit, as I was watching Trey Turner, Grand Slam against Venezuela, and then 4-for-8, 8 RBI, you know, he looked like the kind of guy you would want to have on your team. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if the price is right. I'm just saying he's the kind of guy you want on your team. Not that Dansby Swanson isn't. I'd like them both. Remember that dream? Remember that pipe dream?
My favorite part of that dream was the dream. Don't forget, though, like, he took less money to go to the Phillies. He's just friends with Bryce Harper and whatever. Like, if that makes you feel any better about it.
It doesn't.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's one of the best shortstops in the league. I wasn't really surprised when I saw it. He's been playing pretty well in the WBC, too. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm rooting for a – as much as I love the ass man, as much as we love the ass man, I'm rooting for Japan tonight because I want to see Ohtani versus Trout.
Mm.
So, you know, that's okay. If there's anything about this tournament that I guess that I'm intrigued about or that I care about, because it's not that I've been very loud about it on social media. It's more of like I don't care as much as other people. That is one thing that I will set aside time for to go watch. As if we get to see Ohtani versus Trout or some sort of matchup like that, because that intrigues me. That's related to Major League Baseball in a way, and that's what excites me.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the ass man goes out there against Japan and shoves another 3-4 innings down their throat, yeah.
I'm going to be
upset about it, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to keep rooting for Mexico just – obvious reasons. But I mean, I will say also, like, the Mexico US rivalry, just like in anything, is pretty big. So yeah, it may not get the worldwide appeal of like a US Japan game. Like, that would get that's why if we're talking about like potentially rigged things for ratings or whatever, like MLB probably wants US versus Japan in that final. Yeah. However, if you're looking at it from a North American perspective, U.S.-Mexico gets pretty intense, and I think that'll be a lot of fun.
I mean, Assad was awesome against Puerto Rico, 4 strikeouts, 2 2/3. Now, if you combine what he has done in the Cactus League and the World Baseball Classic, it's almost 10 innings now, no runs, He's piling up strikeouts. Mm-hmm. He's getting incredible experience. And every time we think the fifth starter spot job is over, and maybe it is, they reel you back in because somebody's always got something going on. Assad has looked awesome, absolutely awesome, and hasn't surprised a lot of his teammates. We talked last week about the uptick in velocity and how he's been working on that, and they were trying to get the lower half of his body lined up with the rest of it, and that's where they think the velocity is coming from. I read a quote, I think it was The Athletic, talking about how sometimes you get an increase in velocity, and I think it was Tommy Hotovy was saying, you know, you don't want – sometimes you get the uptick in velocity and then the control goes all over the place. But when a guy knows where the ball is going and then you get the uptick, obviously that's what you're looking for. And that's what's helped Assad. So my question is, where are we at with the fifth starter? Because I read the post from Sahadev Sharma in The Athletic where he was basically saying, okay, fifth starter, it's a formality. It's Wesneski. He's the guy. He's going to be the fifth starter, which was going into this, we all assumed it was Samson. Right? Like we all said, not because that's what we wanted necessarily, but that's the way it looked like he had earned it at the end of last season. It looked like they'd take the younger guys and let them kind of develop. But the thing is that Wesneski and Assad have just straight out shoved, and Samson, up until facing, I think it was the Giants this weekend, real bad. Now, he was better. He was finally better. But do you put all your stock in one start at the end of, near the end of spring training or not, Ryan?
Well, so yeah, I think the thing we've talked about all of spring is just the fact that you don't want to put too much stock in any one start, good or bad, right? Like even when Samson had those first couple of bad outings, you didn't want to put too much stock in it. Just like, you don't want to say that oh, he's fixed. He's figured out everything because he had one good start. Right. I think until maybe this last week, I was still kind of, you know, Adrian Samson, the scenario just made sense that he's going to be the fifth starter. Wesneski maybe start in AAA, be there for a little bit and go from there. But, you know, just reading things coming out of Arizona, just looking at what's happened in the last couple weeks, it does seem that Wesneski's sort of leapfrogged Samson. I think Samson having a good end of spring could help him like remain on the big league team, even if that's in a bullpen role. And you've seen quotes from him talking about he could do anything, right? He's talking about how he could be a reliever too. And that kind of is telling, saying that like the fact that he's talking about that he could pitch out of the bullpen as well, maybe says a little bit. You can infer some things from that. I think he may have like one more start coming around. And he'd have to have a really good one, but like, you know, a good start there helps him possibly stick with on the opening day roster. I don't think the start against the Giants puts him back above Wesneski, as much as like, it just, Wesneski's been really good, man. He's good in his appearances so far in spring. He's, you know, that's just a continuation of what he did last year. He has the it factor. He has the kind of stuff. And yeah, I think it was going to take a good spring out of him to lock down that fifth starter role. And it seems like he's, you know, along with Adrian Sampson's struggles, like Wesneski's done what he's had to do to earn that spot. So Samson could still find his way on the opening day roster in a different role. I just think whatever he did against the Giants hasn't put him back above Wesneski, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, based off the chat reaction or thoughts about Justin Steele right now, they both might be in the rotation on opening day. Just if Justin Steele ain't right. We're going to talk about Keegan Thompson in the second segment too, with his drop in velocity right now. I'm trying to, you know, maintain a, you know, not overreact and assume that everything is going wrong. But with, you know, with Steele, I don't know what he was particularly working on yesterday, but he did look visibly frustrated. So I don't know. But we've said all spring, you know, Samson came in probably with that spot, and Wesneski is like I said, you know, blow my mind a little bit. And he has, and he finally gave up some runs. I think it was a 3-run shot to JD Martinez. And then our guy, Max Bain, came in for the first time in the spring, which was awesome to see. Didn't go well for him, but it was awesome to see him get out there. And I'm excited to see the next time. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to just maintain some sort of level of concern when it comes to Justin Steele right now. But, again, this is the thing we've talked about all spring and all offseason, is the Cubs have a lot of depth in that starting rotation. So, you know, if Steele isn't ready for opening day, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You feel good about Wesneski and Adrian Sampson. Like, you do. And then, again, I don't know how the Cubs plan to use Javier Assad. I know, didn't Sharma's write something about how they plan to use him in a bullpen role?
That it's an option.
Yeah,
it's an option. I mean, we could talk about it when we talk about Keegan, but I mean, there's some flexibility really for all those guys. We know all of them could be in the bullpen if you really needed them to. I don't think any of those guys would necessarily have to be starters. One thing about Sampson that's different than the other two, well, a couple things. Number one, we know he's a little bit older. He's been there. He pitched overseas, came back, thinks he figured it out. But he is more of a control touch guy than the other guys, right? Like, he's not a swing and miss guy, although he had 6 strikeouts in his good outing this weekend. But the other guys have more blow it by you opportunity, especially Assad, now that he's, you know, he hit 97 at one point in the WBC, but he's been between, I think I saw 93 and 95 or something like that has been his average. So the uptick has been there. And we know Wesneski has strikeout ability where he can just get it by guys. So I like that because you don't have a ton of it in some of your other guys. There's a lot of contact pitchers. And I don't know if that's enough to sway anybody, but boy, Assad, when you watch Assad in the World Baseball Classic, you start to think to yourself, well, why can't we get one of those guys the Cardinals get, where all of a sudden somebody's like, who is this guy and why is he 15-3? You know, like, how is this guy's ERA a 1.5 and he's got 15 wins already at the All-Star break? Like, who is this guy? That's what I would like the rest of the National League Central to experience just once. Just who is this guy? Where did he come from and where did they find him? And whether that is Wesneski, Assad, Sampson again, I don't know. I have a feeling that it's Wesneski or Assad, though. I that's just a gut feeling. It's nothing against Adrian Sampson. I love what Sampson brings to the team in that he's depth that they've never had. All three guys are depth that they've never had in recent history, right? Like, they finally have guys in the minors. If Steele struggles, they've got somebody to bring up. If Thompson makes the team and struggles, they've got somebody to bring up. They have multiple players that they will be able to stash at the minor league level that they can bring up that you're going to feel comfortable if they get called up, and you won't feel panicked unless it has to do with options left or something like that, or roster spots. That's the trick. That's the trickier part of the picture right now, really, is like, who's on the 40 man? How do they keep the 40 man? How do they not lose a guy? How do they stash them? Stuff I don't deal with. And I'm glad I don't, but boy, I like the depth that those three guys provide, especially what I've seen of Assad the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to be in this position. I said it last week. Like, I feel like I've been saying it all spring. We've seen, like, the flashes from some of these young pitchers, and we saw it all last year too. It was the only good thing about last year outside of Nico Horner and, you know, Christopher Morel's hot start and all, like, as far as offense. So the pitching was what really shined, especially in the second half of last year. And you're bringing that momentum into this year, and you're seeing some of these other guys that, you know, I would say we've all been pleasantly surprised about Javier Assad. I mean, it's awesome. As far as, like, that competition, it's not that I'm, like, worried about it. It's more of, like, I'm just happy that they have the depth, and I just hope that Steele is okay. Like, if the Cubs are going to be much of anything this year, they're going to need Steele to be healthy. And that's just a fact. I can't use the Dell Metrics analytics and say that the Cubs are going to win if Justin Steele isn't out there every fifth day. So, I hope that's fine. And then, you know, whenever you want to do a spot start as the season moves along, or if an injury happens and you got that depth, and I think Wesneski has earned the spot in that rotation at this point, but, you know, we'll see how this next week goes. And, you know, I feel good about the rotation going in the open day, mm-hmm. no matter what anyway. So,
yeah, it's the picture is a little murky now with all these different things happening. You know, Steele feeling something. I don't think it's something that's going to keep him out. What was the quote? He said that he just felt like he was pitching underwater or something like that.
Yeah, it felt like it sounded like head arm, something like that.
Well, he had that thing early in the season. His first start got mm-hmm. Scratched. Arm fatigue, I think, was what it was. Just from seeing reports, it doesn't seem like anything too concerning. I think he should have one more start before they leave Mesa. So I guess you'll kind of see what happens in that one as well. I kind of agree with Cody that in any case, the depth the rotation has, like, with guys like Wesneski showing out, Javier Assad pleasantly surprising a lot of people. If Samson makes has another good start before he leaves. I mean, like, there's options there, and you feel good about who's going to be in the rotation. You feel good about the spot the rotation's in on opening day, kind of regardless. Like, not that the rotation isn't better with Justin Steele in it than not, but as long as it's not like anything long-term, like, you feel okay about who could potentially have to replace him if need be, right? Not saying that's even on the radar right now, just if that's a thing, you feel good about the depth the Cubs have that could, you know, whoever could potentially come in for, if it's only a start, right? Like, then you don't feel as bad. But I mean, that's a bridge you kind of cross when you get there. I don't want to speculate on that all too much, because from what we've heard, it doesn't seem like it's anything like opening days in jeopardy at this point. Right. So
I guess it's more speculation. I guess for me, the concern is just usually by now you start to see guys get into that groove of, you know, going higher pitch counts and stuff like that. And again, it's spring training. I try not to like let one bad appearance like define anything. So yeah, I'm with you. I just basically I'm reacting based off what our chat is saying, what I saw on social media yesterday. It's just one start, but I hope he's much better than the second start. That way we can feel good about the first series of the year.
Well, and don't forget, you probably won't need all five starters to be going long innings early in the season. Mm-hmm. You might have piggyback opportunities. You might have, because of off days, skip some guys. You have Killian, who's had a good spring. You only have to get through, at best case scenario, you might only have to get through 4 weeks, and then you're going to see what Kyle Hendricks has to add to the mix too. So who knows?
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, who knows what it's all going to look like when it's all said and done. I want to point this out, though. If the ass man continues to shove like this, whether it's bullpen or starting, I have an idea that if he's able to continue this through the season and he is just the man and he becomes the Sultan of Shove, if you will, then I have something I'd like to present him at Wrigley Field halfway through the season. I have something that we could give him, and it is my brother-in-law's bachelor cake. The groomsman cake. There it was. That was in New York. That was it. See, and we will just change the New York license plate to an Illinois license plate. We'll get a little Lincoln head on the side over there instead of the Statue of Liberty. And we could bring one of these bad boys out to Wrigley Field. Let me tell you, that would be hashtag vibe thus moment if we presented Javier Assad with his own cake. If he somehow gets to like 10-1 and he's got an ERA under 2. That's what I'm looking for. The Sultan of Shove.
What do you think? This cake is a vibe.
Ass man cake.
I told you it was unreal. A sick cake.
If you're listening on the podcast feed, you got to go to YouTube and see it.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't properly, we're not Pat Hughes. We can't properly paint the picture with our words. You have to go and look at this ass man cake that Luke has presented us.
And let me tell you, I ate that cake and it was real and it was spectacular as well. It was simply delicious. All right. Let's get to our ad reads real quick. The ComEd facility assessment read is committed to helping families and business in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can find energy saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually, last about 2 hours. Then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers get a report detailing energy efficiency projects they can start working on right away. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. Ready to sign up for a facility assessment? Call us at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online on their website, comed.com/facility assessment. You know what's going on right now, guys, pretty much everywhere. With only 10 days till the season starts for the Cubs, a lot of people starting to pick their fantasy baseball teams. A lot of drafts going on. If you're in that boat, or if you've had one and you got another one coming up, make sure you get your latest fantasy baseball news from RotoWire, a pioneer in fantasy sports for over 25 years. They have cheat sheets, customer player rankings to fit all types of leagues, whether you're rotisserie, points, 10 category, 30 category, whatever. Let their experts analyze all those wild baseball stats for you, WRC+, barrel rate, sleepers, prospects, hard hit rate, etc. They've got mock drafts galore. Ask the expert function. Maybe you want to know, hey, what Cub should I draft to put on my team? Or what players outside of the Cubs should I really be looking at? Premium fantasy draft kits, custom start, sit, add, drop, trade advice, lineup optimizers, access to fantasy, DFS, and sports betting articles. And not just baseball. We're talking fantasy advice on everything from golf, soccer, NASCAR, even, yes, the XFL for those of you crazy people out there. For a limited time, RotoWire is offering a free 2-day trial to our listeners. You just have to go to RotoWire, that's RotoWire.com/CHGO to register. No commitments. They're so confident you're going to like their product and want to invest in a subscription plan after those couple days. They don't even ask for a credit card up front. So take a peek behind the paywall, and when your trial is done, then you can decide if a RotoWire package is right for you. You know, you might want to use the 2-day sample for the draft and then look at your team and go, whoa, I got a great team. I got to stick with these guys. I have to continue this all season long. Just something to check out, something to keep an eye on. I see Coladas in the chat.
Yep.
He's been here. Barbara. Yes, it is live.
Barb, we're live, Barb.
She does mention Ron Santo days left until opening day.
Yeah. Ron Santo days. Also, Dave Kingman days. I think Dave Kingman was number 10, if I'm not mistaken. The other report from Sahadev that I had not picked up on at all.
Yeah, just me neither.
Watching a couple outings. I haven't seen anybody else talk about it. Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic pointing out that he said Keegan Thompson's been sitting in the low 90s. And the quote was, some in the organization question whether using one of his two remaining options makes sense right now at the beginning of the season. He hasn't looked great in the preseason. His velocity is down. And, you know, it's something I hadn't noticed about the mayor. Yeah. I hadn't seen a lot of his outings. I can't say I saw every time he was throwing.
The lack of stat cast too doesn't help when you don't have all the mile per hour readings or whatever fed onto game day or whatever you're looking at. Doesn't
help. How concerned are you? Here's my only thing is this: if he's throwing in the low 90s and they're worried that there's some sort of arm issue and he's just not saying it because he's a competitor, then I'm worried for him. I don't know that by any, you know, any stretch of the imagination. Cody has dubbed him the mayor of Chicago. We still have the runoff race going. Like, he's still our guy.
He's our guy.
We still want him in there. He was outrageously valuable in the bullpen last year. Mm-hmm. Pretty good as a starter, but outrageously valuable in that long relief role, like three times a week, right? So I would love to see him in that. Are there other guys that could step up if he's not right for a while and fill that role? Yes, Assad is obviously one of them. That would be a way to get Assad on the roster. But I would like to see it be Keegan Thompson. I'd like to see him work it out at the major league level as long as he's healthy.
Yeah.
As long as he's healthy, I'm cool with that. But I don't know that the Cubs are going to go that way.
I guess
I was just shocked by the news.
Yeah, I mean, based off what we know, I guess the spin zone is them talking about options and not talking about the injured list. Maybe his dead arm. I don't know. We don't know. But, yeah. I mean, when he was in the bullpen, he was touching 95, like, on a consistent basis last year. And now he's around 90, 91. Doesn't make a ton of sense. But if they're not talking about the injured list, then I'm not going to get too concerned. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm not concerned at the same mm-hmm. time. So that's kind of like the spin zone to it, is that they're not really talking about him being like having an arm problem or anything like that.
Yeah. Maddie Lee of the Sun Times talked about it. And I guess she talked to bullpen coach Chris Young. He said that's just spring training for some people. Some guys come in ready to roll, and some guys come in just needing a little bit of work to find their tempo and find the rhythm. I think he just falls into that. Feels like they're downplaying any injury concerns. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen that happen before and there has actually been an injury. I mean, I'm not saying there's definitely not an injury, but they're clearly not outwardly concerned, I guess is the best way to put it. Like,
they're not saying it.
We're not saying it. So it is concerning to see that he's still only hitting 91 consistently at this point in spring training. Like, you definitely would hope he's a little closer to what he was. I think he was hitting like mid 93 average, something like that. Like mid 93s were like his average for last year. You'd hope he'd be hitting that more consistently. I don't know what's going on with Keegan, but like Cody said, I think the best part about that kind of news is the fact that they're talking about maybe just using options and having him continue to ramp up in AAA versus the big league team. It's not what anyone wants to hear. It's definitely not what Keegan Thompson wants. He wants to be in the majors and build off, you know, that success he had last season, especially knowing going into spring that he's going to be in the bullpen, right? Like that was never a concern or trying to figure out how to, you know, he was not on a program to ramp up to be a starter. And then he's having to kind of pull things back to, you know, when he knows he's going to the bullpen, like last year, right? Like this year he came in, they told him like, the plan is for you to be in the bullpen. He's able to do that instead of trying to ramp up to 5-6 innings by the end of spring and pull back. He knows he only has to ramp up to like 3-ish. Like, right? Like that's fine. The problem is, of course, that the velocity is not there, right? Like mm-hmm. it's a weird dynamic because he's not having to ramp up as much, but then the speed isn't there. I don't know what is going on, but it is when you're seeing those numbers. I understand the concern when you see those numbers, because that's not where you would want Keegan Thompson to be at this point in spring training.
No.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, if you're going to use an option on him, I'd almost rather have him struggle a little bit at the major league level. Again, this is assuming he's totally healthy and it's just he's trying to ramp up into the season. He's a little bit behind some other guys. Then I'd rather wait to see if you need to use the option instead of just burning it. That said, then there's the Assad part. If Assad wasn't tearing it up in the World Baseball Classic, yeah. I would be in no rush to put him in there. But at the same time, if he can carry that hot hand to the major league level in some form, again, we don't know whether that's a starter or that's another guy in the bullpen. And maybe it's not Thompson's role that he takes. Maybe it's somebody else's role, because there's still a lot of guys there's still a lot of unsettled space in the bullpen. And if Assad is that hot, I would like to see him. I would like to see him also on the major league level, because I think of what he's going through right now in the World Baseball Classic. He's got this game against Japan. He might have a championship game against the U.S. If he can build almost, let's say it, it's almost a perfect spring so far. I don't want to jinx the guy, knock on wood somewhere. But if he has this incredible spring, Cactus League into the World Baseball Classic, it would be awfully hard for this guy to go to Iowa and continue that same sort of juice that's running through his veins. Like, how do you go from what is probably the most exciting baseball he's ever played in, not even close, at the World Baseball Classic, and then take that and be like, and I'm going to Des Moines. I'll see you for a couple months. It's just nothing against Iowa. That'd be a real downer. You would like to – it's like when we talked about the Cubs and Dexter Fowler, and he shows up in 16, and you're like, let's ride this thing. For an individual player, the same can be true. Now, it doesn't always hold up. We've seen Brandon Hughes struggle a little bit, and there's another guy in the bullpen. A guy has struggled in the spring a little bit, but he wasn't great in the spring last year either, and then all of a sudden they called him up, and he was outstanding. So just because you have a bad spring doesn't mean you can have a great season, and just because you have a great spring doesn't mean you could actually have a down season at the minor league level. Just –
Are they saying anything about Hughes in terms of like velocity or anything like that? I haven't seen anything.
No, I just saw Sahada saying that he had struggled too, and that they don't know what to do because they don't have a ton of lefties, right? Like they don't have a ton of lefties. Your other option is probably lighter because of the splitter, but he's not on the 40 man. He's a non-roster invitee. So if you add him, where do you go with that? Now you start adding guys. Now that doesn't Ryan. Lighter was on your latest projected roster. That was before we knew Keegan was throwing in the 90s, of course.
Loaded. Yeah, well, I think I actually had him on both. I've done two, and he's been on both.
Okay. So we just know that they would have to do some maneuvering.
Maneuvering for that. But like we talked about last week, like his splits work as far as like
– right.
They look more like a lefty-on-lefty type split versus – Mark Leiter Jr. as a righty versus lefty, because I think that splitter really affects lefties, I guess. So that when we're doing that when I'm doing that projection, I'm looking at it as like, okay, they have Brandon Hughes. He's the only lefty. Mark Leiter Jr. has splits that work against lefties. That may be how they kind of tackle that issue, right? But like we're kind of talking about now, like Brandon Hughes is struggling, and I don't see that affecting his spot on the roster on opening day necessarily. But if that kind of stuff continues into the season, then you start talking about, okay, like when does he need to go back down to AAA to work on some things, right? Like that, if that's what actually happens, like I do still see him at this point with 10 days to go being in Chicago on opening day. How long that could last while he struggles is a different story altogether.
How many appearances has Hughes had? Because I know that it's not like they were using him, you know, to start spring training. It was kind of like a late start from people started still questioning if he was hurt or not, along with Keegan Thompson.
Four games, four innings, three runs. Oh, he's got a 6.75 ERA, which another four small sample, right?
Right.
Another small sample, but
when you tell that to me, four games, like I'm not gonna get too all bundled up about it. We'll see.
I see what Niren and Barb are saying in the chat. They're talking about, listen, this lineup doesn't have the pop. The margin of error is small. You got to go with the hot hand, the guy that's ready. You can't wait for guys to get ready. You've got to get going on day one because every single game might matter if you're trying to make the postseason. All of that is true. Like I don't disagree with any of that. It's just funny how storylines for this roster for opening day change within a matter of minutes, days. We've got 10 days left and we still don't know where it's going to go. It's changed greatly. If you would have told me 5 days ago that there was a possibility that Keegan Thompson and Brandon Hughes weren't going to be on the opening day roster, I'd have laughed. I'd have laughed at your projected lineup. I'd have said, well, that's stupid. Yeah. There's two you can pencil in right now in the bullpen, and that is Thompson and Hughes. And now Sahadev's telling me there are two guys you can't pencil in yet, and those are Thompson and Hughes. And I just saw Fernando say, so if Assad doesn't show or shove tonight, am I going to hear it was a small sample size tomorrow? Yeah, that's the tricky thing.
Yeah,
that's the tricky thing. Although now he's had extensive work because the World Baseball Classic, WBC, and he's the perfect example of, while Altuve got hurt and we saw Diaz get hurt, he's a guy where you look at and say, this experience couldn't have been better. This mm-hmm. may be the thing that catapults the guy into a great major league career. That's what you're hoping for, that he takes a little taste that he got at the major league level. He sees the uptick in the velocity. They think they found some stuff. He puts it all together. He shows up in high leverage situations on a big stage where it's even bigger to him than it is maybe to fans around mm-hmm. the country. And he takes it and he runs with it.
Right.
But there's no guarantee. There's right. no guarantee. If he goes out tonight and he gets lit up, am I going to say, well, I need to have him in the roster? I'll take a step back again.
You can say the same thing about
stock up, stock down, Cody. Stock up, stock down.
You can say the same thing about the Cubs offense. Like,
yes.
If okay, so they won what, 9-10 games in a row in spring training? And no one here freaking got all excited about it because of spring training. I did because I can. All right. But like all I'm saying is that whatever the numbers are in spring training, especially for the offense, that does not dictate what we're going to see in April. Now, the offense probably won't be great in April because it'll be cold, and the Cubs offense is never good in April. But as long as they have two of the three facets of how you win a baseball game, which would be, in this team's case, pitching and defense, they're going to always be in games. I feel good about that going into the year. All I'm saying is, like, don't overreact about the offense right now because it doesn't – what is it? It doesn't mean much of anything. How many guys have we seen come up with the Cubs, get a shot in spring training, and mash baseballs, and then they earn their spot in the opening day roster, and they flop? I don't know. Like, I understand we'd all rather see them all be hitting a ton, but, like, I don't know. And again, I'm basing this off what everyone's talking about in the chat. But to an extent, I agree. Yeah. Like, I know Swanson hasn't looked great in the spring, but, like, he's a seasoned vet. Like, who cares? Like, as long as he's getting his at-bats and he's going to be ready for opening day, that's all that matters in my eyes. So, you know.
If I want to be perfectly honest here, am I sky high on – all the guys that are having good springs, and am I down in the dumps over Dansby Swanson and guys that aren't ramped up yet? Well, we have a daily podcast, guys. We got to have stuff to talk about. Let's be honest here. Like, would I be reacting this way if we were doing a podcast once a week? No, but we're picking apart. We're stock up, stock down. We're living with these guys every single day. That's why it's vibe with us and not vibe with somebody else, because we're living the vibe 24/7. 365. We're not here for you once a week. We're here every stinking day talking Cubs baseball, because you don't stop watching, because you're the diehards out there. That's why we're riding the stock market the way we are going into the season. If we were just another one of the podcasts that were out there once a week or every month or whatever it is, well, then we'd have time to be rational. But there's no time to be rational right now. There's 10 days left before the season. I see it in the chat. There's panic from every single person on there. And most of them have panic for a different reason. One guy's worried about Dansby. The next guy's worried about Thompson. The next guy's worried about the lineup. Then Barb's worried, are we live? Everybody's worried. I get it. But at least we're worried because there's actually something to potentially cheer for this year. Right? Like,
yeah.
Don't worry too much. I can guarantee you there's something to at least watch this season. Can't guarantee it's going to be perfect. Can't guarantee it's necessarily going to be good, but I think it's going to be better than last year.
Yeah. I don't really care what happens in the spring. I never have and never will. So whatever you guys want to stress over it, be my guess, but
I can't believe Cody's the voice of reason here.
Yeah.
What? Like, how many?
Cody's the most up and down.
How many times have we seen? Like, David Bodie is a great example. Like, someone said that in the chat. Like, okay. Like, it was exciting to see Nelson Velasquez hit a walk-off homer yesterday. Am I getting too high or too low about that? No. I mean, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't know why, Cody, but I feel like spring training, I guess this doesn't even make sense, but I feel more true to the eye when I'm watching pitchers that haven't ramped up and might not be ready going into the season than I do hitters. When hitters are just struggling at spring training or having a just amazing, just crushing it everywhere in spring training, a lot of times that does not carry over to the first week of the season. It just doesn't. But like, if a pitcher I could see Assad carrying that over to the season more than I could see Dansby carrying that over to the season.
Well, Assad's been playing a meaningful game. So like he's the one guy you can definitely feel good about, even if he does get lit up tonight against Japan. But
he probably won't pitch today.
Well, either way. What's the guy, the outfielder that might be on the roster, Tachman? Like a third, like 32 year old outfielder, he might start in right field opening day because we got an update about Seiya Suzuki over the weekend. He's now taking, he's doing like two different types of swings now, dry swings and whatever the other swings are.
Medicine ball. He's swinging a medicine ball around.
Yeah. I don't know what any of that means except that he's working hard. He's trying to get back. But he hasn't played any spring training games, so I don't think the Cubs are going to be in a rush to get him to play opening day. I've seen people get excited about Tachman on social media because to start the spring, he was hitting the ball, and I think he's had a pretty good spring. But he's, 31, 32? He's been like a journeyman around the league. And am I going to get excited about him to hold over the Cubs' right field spot in April until Seiya Suzuki comes back?
Yeah.
No, well, I'm not.
That's another
Mid-Suburban League star.
MSL, Mid-Suburban League. Right now. But that's another question, quickly before we get to the next ad. But between him and, we're looking at that right field spot, and he's hit pretty well. He seemed like a decent option, and the fact that he can play all three outfield spots is encouraging for whenever Seiya Suzuki comes back. But he's also not on the 40-man, which is another thing where if he's going to make the opening day roster, moves have to be made. Whether that's I don't think Kyle Hendricks has been put on the 60-day IL, if that's what's going to end up happening, but that's one move that's kind of in mind of what could potentially be it. Maybe I'm wrong, but the one player, and I know Barbara's talked about it in the chat, Nelson Velasquez. He hit the home run yesterday. He played for Team Puerto Rico. He only had 5 at-bats, I think, during the whole World Baseball Classic. But I think one of the biggest things working in his favor is the fact that he's already on the 40-man. And if it's just something that, for Seiya, is only a few weeks into the season, I think right now we're looking at maybe late April, early May. Mm-hmm. And even then, you never really know what the bleaks, for whatever reason, he may be able to come back sooner. I don't know that they'd want to push him to come back sooner, but you don't really know with the way obliques kind of tend to be a little volatile. So if it's only 4-ish weeks, 25 games, 30 games to start the year, do they just go with Nelson Velasquez because he's on the 40-man, has a little bit of experience playing out there in the Wrigley Field outfield from last season, and see if he can have a little bit better of a year, at least to start until Seiya's ready to go? Or do you let him, because at that point it's more of a scenario where he'll be playing every day, right? Like we talked about before, he's probably not going to make the opening day because the outfield is set and you probably would rather have him in AAA getting everyday playing time. Well, now Seiya's gone for a month. That is mostly everyday playing time in right field that's available. So is that a scenario where now they want to they can keep him in the majors? He's on the 40-man, take Seiya's spot until he's ready, and then figure out what to do with him? Or do you go with a guy like Mike? It's another area.
It's one of the other decisions, right? Coming here in the next 10 days, for sure.
Yeah,
no question about it.
Dustin, he wasn't great in the outfield, by the way. He wasn't like a good defender in the outfield last season, Velasquez. So that's another.
No,
we're talking about the Cubs. Center,
he was not good.
No. Well, we're talking about the Cubs.
Defensively, they want to be good.
Yeah, exactly. They're like kind of built on defense right now. And unless he's, I'm not saying he hasn't done some things to improve himself defensively, and maybe after like one season in the outfield, he understands how Wrigley Field, how the ball plays in Wrigley a little bit better now. But it wasn't a great defensive season for him last year. He had -3 defensive runs saved in right field itself. So that's a little trade-off. Where are you going to trade? Are you going to trade the defense that he, he was rated negatively, and you want to be a good defensive team for a guy who has potential on the offensive side? He struggled to play last year too, but he does obviously have really good power potential, which the Cubs don't have a whole lot of themselves right now either. It's a weird balance. I just, I like thinking out loud.
I'm glad I don't have to make the decision. Dustin Allen with a super chat. On a positive note, the Vols are in the Sweet 16. Cody's pick of the week. Hashtag vibe with us. Hashtag Mike Dubs 44 days. Yeah, I was getting to that. Shout out to Mike Dubs.
44 days. Again,
had a great time in Arizona. I believe he's going to fly. He's going to run down Addison with the flag. Did I see that?
He tweeted a video after Nelson Velasquez hit the homer yesterday. He tweeted a video of him. It looked like it was at spring training.
He's been there.
Yeah, and he was just running down the street or something with the W flag. I still think if he was doing it with the shirt off, it would be so much more vibier, but,
right.
I get it. It's the internet.
Like Musselman, the Arkansas coach, just ripping his shirt off after every win.
Exactly.
But, 44 days of Dubs. That's our march to – we got 44 more after that $50.
And then you can send us another $50.
Ryan, tell us about FOCO and how it can get you ready for opening day.
Well, FOCO, we talked about it so much. I don't remember when we started talking about it, but FOCO's been with us for a long time. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite sports team, so get fitted out in the best sports gear around. FOCO has got you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, FOCO. Looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life? FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below for all non-presale items. Use the promo code CHGO for 10% off.
Guys, I had a great weekend. You guys asked before we started the show. I had a great weekend. I won so much money on DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of CHGO and All City. There was this stat. Shout out to TikTok. Parker's picks. It was a stat about teams that are like top 10 in KenPom on offense and outside the top 100 on defense, and how they've never made the Sweet 16 since like 2004, 100% of them. So I quite literally rode that trend against Iowa in the NCAA tournament, Baylor yesterday, and Mizzou on Saturday. I took Mizzou on Thursday. Ryan knows that in the office. I was sweating it with him, even though it wasn't much of a sweat against Utah State. But I took all the winnings from Fairleigh Dickinson, put them on Princeton, and then after Princeton beat Mizzou, I put all that on a three-leg parlay that won me like $300 yesterday. So DraftKings Sportsbook is my favorite app.
Cody Del Cascio.
Yeah, Del Cascio, man.
He's ordering shoes right now.
Yeah. I thought about it. The on the sneakers app right now, they got the fours in green and white. Wish they would have came out before St. Patrick's Day, but
yeah, you'd have done it.
Coming out tomorrow. I might try. We'll see. So thanks to DraftKings, I might be able to do that. Download the app now. Sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And my favorite part of Illinois season was the end, and then when all my friends were pissed off too when their teams lost. It was great.
that game was ugly. The Illinois lost. I correctly predicted that Indiana would outlast Purdue. Quick moment of silence for our friend Greg Braggs.
Oh, no. No yeah. Moment of silence for Greg
Braggs. Oh, man. What a bombshell that was. Woo.
So was there one Big Ten team in the Sweet 16?
Whoops. Yeah, Michigan State. Oh.
Man.
I will say that it's not necessarily, well, I guess in a way it's their own fault, but they were all very low seeded this year, except for Purdue. And Michigan State got in there as a 7 seed and beat Marquette yesterday. Our producer, Kevin Wills, thoughts and prayers, buddy.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I went against my own work bracket because in the work bracket, I thought, well, we're not playing for money. I'm just going to throw something out there. I took Marquette to win it all. Just because I figured only Kevin might
take them. If it makes you feel better, I took Arizona.
Solidarity.
It's not for cash. But, however, I was talking to some friends before the tournament, and they were like, oh, Michigan State's going to be terrible. And I said, listen, here's the thing. If Michigan State somehow wins their first game, they are in the Sweet 16, and they very might be the Elite Eight. Because what? They Michigan State. That's Izzo. Every time you think he has a great team, you're not sure what the tournament's going to be. But when he's got an average team, he's been flying under the radar in the Big Ten, he's been angry, that team almost always goes to the Elite Eight. Like, always.
CBS,
and so I knew they were going to beat Marquette yesterday.
CBS had a great stat. They said that Izzo is 23-7 in round two in the Elite Eight in his time at Michigan State.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I bet with my heart yesterday, and it hurt.
Anyway. I bet Marquette, too.
It hurt. It hurt
my final four.
Yep. Michigan State, you're right though, Luke. I mean, they are just such a disciplined team. I mean, no turnovers down the stretch, made all their free throws, made all the right plays. Broke my heart. Now I'm sad.
Last team standing in the Big Ten.
The universe, I told Cody this yesterday, the universe owes me a World Series this year for that, for the pain. So solidarity. What's that?
Are you rooting for the Phillies? Who are you rooting for?
Come on, you know who I'm rooting for.
That was a cheap shot.
We're manifesting it, Luke. That was man.
That was a cheap shot.
That was mean.
Barbara listen,
you get the
says,
ass man at 17-1.
Barbara says she hopes that I didn't get into too many bar fights over the weekend. Yeah. I didn't get any bar fights. I got into Twitter fights with Braggs and Ryan. It was glorious.
No, it wasn't even a fight. I told him like I didn't say a word when Illinois lost, and then Cody's.
Well, I got really distracted because like I was gonna come back, and then I got distracted because I walked into a Chinese restaurant next to the bar that I was at all day, and I had this big plate of fried rice, and I completely forgot about my fight with Ryan.
It wasn't even a fight. I didn't feed into the troll energy. I didn't let you have fun at my expense.
Again, I was going to.
I wouldn't have fed into it.
Well, I still would have had my fun anyway.
No, I felt bad saying anything to Braggs. I just made a comment. It was a simple comment. I just said, Valpo is still the best basketball program in Indiana. I left it at that.
Braggs,
and, you know, I stand by that. But
Braggs is doing this whole victim playing thing after all the trash he's been talking for the last 6 months. I ain't buying it, brother. That guy, he's getting a ton of shit from me for the next week.
It wasn't even the shots. They couldn't get the big guy the ball. It was brick by brick, only it was another story. It was Purdue basketball. All right. Last segment. We're going to start our rankings around the NL Central. Where do the Cubs rank in the division? All right. Let's start
with first base. Is this regular?
I like first base because I think it's a real debatable position, right? Like you look at the top. First of all, we all know
there's one clear top. Like
Goldschmidt's the best in the division. Like that's not debatable. And Carlos Santana, a veteran and good, I mean, he's got to be the bottom. I'm not saying he couldn't move up on the list this season, but he's I think he's 36.
Yeah, it's him or Jimon Choi, right?
Where was he? Royals and somewhere else last year.
Seattle.
Seattle, that's what it was.
Yeah. So I think Jimon Choi is
to put him at the bottom, but he's not that much below everybody else.
I was gonna say like they get a little bit of boost because Jimon Choi's nickname is apparently G Money, and that's an awesome nickname. But yeah, I think those are your one, like Goldschmidt at one, and then whatever combination the Pirates roll out there is probably fifth. I feel a little disrespected
for ourselves because I feel like. You got to throw Mervis on there because eventually he's going to be there at some point.
So it should say Haas, Mance, Mash.
Yeah. We got to put Mervis on. He's going to be on the team at some point.
But he won't start the season on the team.
No.
I get two through
five, whether it's Rowdy Tellez, Joey Votto, who's going to 39 this year. Coming off Hosmer, surgery, Mancini, right? Mash, and Santana. I'll be honest with you. 2 for 5 are totally interchangeable, and anything could happen in that group. Like, do I feel great about the Brewers having number two? I personally can't do it. If it was just my list, I would put Joey Votto number two, because he's a future Hall of Famer. He only played 90 games last year. He was hurt, and he had a down season. So I'm not gonna go be down on him because he's 39 and he had a hurt season when he was 38.
My thing is he's coming off a torn labrum. He's coming off a torn labrum surgery, I know. Right? Like that's pretty big, especially at 39 years old.
But defensively, he's way better than Rowdy. I mean, like that's
sure. Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously a better.
I mean, he wasn't great defensively last year either, though. That's
once in the chat, Brendan said that he had Tellez on his fantasy team and that he was getting benched, and that reminded me he was getting benched late in the season against lefties. And I thought, well, I can't move Joey Votto down for a guy that can't even face one type of batter. So I personally would leave him at Joey Votto second, but in reality, 2 through 5, roll the dice. Who's got the next best after Goldschmidt? It's a roll the dice in the division.
I mean, I think right now where we have him is like fair. But like you said, it's such a, behind Goldschmidt, everyone's so close together that like Mancini and Hosmer could easily be number two like a week into the season. Like
if we're doing the list based off what have you done for me lately, I'd honestly put Votto at 4. If we're doing it like what have you done for me lately, if we're going by Dell metrics as Kevin is showing us, Paul Goldschmidt's the worst first baseman in the NL Central, and it's not even close.
He's gonna be worn out by the World Baseball Classic.
All this stuff you guys are saying. I mean, if you look at it through Dell metrics, I mean, I'm feeling great about the Cubs at first base.
Did you see his quote saying the World Baseball Classic is the most exciting baseball he's ever played?
I thought that was
wasn't it Goldschmidt? And then somebody said, yeah, because
that it was another Wainwright. Word for someone tweeted it.
Oh, it was Wainwright. Yeah. Said St. Louis is born.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The graphics saying this is the most exciting baseball I've ever played or something. And the guy who tweeted at us said, you know, in other words, St. Louis is boring. Shout out. I think his name was Ron. Shout out to him. But on the real, when you don't use Dell metrics, because I know not everyone likes to use Dell metrics. It's not on Fangraphs, unfortunately. It's not on Baseball Reference. It should be. I've been in the petition trying to get it on there, but these old heads don't want to listen to me. Paul Goldschmidt, number one, obviously. And then I would probably, if again, based off what have you done for me lately, I'd probably put Tellez at 2. And then I think to start the year, you'll see a lot of Hosmer at first, but we're not sure if Hosmer will be with the Cubs all season. So I think Mancini could be there. And I'm throwing Mervis on the list anyway, because I know he's going to be on the team soon. And so I'll put those three at 3 and Votto at 4. Because, again, based off what have you done for me lately, and then Santana 5. But I do think Santana is a nice signing for the Pirates.
Yeah,
They will be a lot more competitive this year. I don't think they're going to be an easy – They're not going to be an easy out. They have a lot of talent on that team, as far as like, you know, potential. But yeah, he's still number 5.
It's all veteran first basemen. Some that have struggled and are trying to hang on to their career. Some of them are still at the peak of their career, pretty much. But when you look at, I mean, just look at Mancini was pretty productive last year until he got to Houston, right? When he really struggled, but he was having a productive year. I could see the Cubs being as high as number 2 on the list, and it wouldn't shock me if they fell and plummeted all the way to the bottom. But I think it's more likely that they'd be in the number 2 spot by the end of the season than it is that they'd be in the 5 spot. Just not impossible. Yeah. Just not impossible.
I think there's reasonable like optimism to see the Cubs be at least in the top, like legitimately be in the top 2 for first baseman in the division by the end of the year. I think there's reasonable optimism for that.
I don't remember where we had him last year with Schwindel, but
three.
It was probably unrealistic. The Cubs are better off at first base.
He was coming off that hot second half, baby. We were like riding high on the Schwinn.
They're better off at first base going into the season. No offense.
No question.
Yeah, and it's also the point where, like, you know, Goldschmidt's this, like, MVP caliber player. Or at least he's coming off an MVP caliber season. Was he MVP? He was MVP last year, right? Yeah. So he's an MVP. Roddy Tellez is not that. Roddy Tellez is a fine player, but he's not, if you're just talking about straight up, like, ranking first base for the division, he's definitely not someone the Cubs, you know, whatever mix of Hosmer, Mancini, Mervis eventually if he comes up. The Cubs aren't like, there's no reason they can't kind of jump him in that ranking as far as positional groups go. So I think there is a long, long way to go before any of these teams can jump the Cardinals. But as far as that number two spot, I think as far as that number two spot, the Cubs have a shot. And right here, I mean, we've been talking about it, how the Cardinals are kind of the class of the division right now. And the Brewers, it may be the Brewers probably number two, but the Cubs aren't far behind. And it kind of feels the same way as far as how we're ranking these positions right now. It's like the Brewers aren't an uncatchable team right now for the Cubs.
Unless you use Del Metrics.
40.
Yeah.
Del Metrics.
Unless you use Del Metrics. Del Metrics will make you it'll make you feel real good. Come on, Fangraphs. I've been petitioning for months.
There it is. Del Metrics, ultimate worst first baseman in the division.
My goodness.
All right.
Bring it in the Art Institute. That's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, it's a good place to wrap it up for the Cardinal fans that have decided to join this YouTube feed later. we'll see you at 1:20 on Tuesday. Corey Freeman's going to join us in studio. We've got six more live podcasts coming up before the season. I believe seven or eight more total, right? Something like that. Anyways, look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. Thanks to everybody in the chat. It was a wild ride on the chat today. Got a little off the rails a couple times. We're back. We're vibing with you every single day. Don't forget, Mike Dubs will be here tomorrow as well. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Until Tuesday, have a great day and fly the W.